we will get into our lesson there in a minute. It's good to see everyone out this morning. I appreciate very much all the prayers that have been offered for me the last couple of weeks. I'm glad to be back out, and hopefully each week will get a little bit easier and better. And God continues to watch over all of us. You know, I've heard it a lot of times, you don't appreciate something until you lose it. And our health, we just take for granted. And then when you have a setback and you realize how God watches over us every day, and then it makes me wonder, how many other things have I been unthankful for too, just because we get so busy and don't stop to realize it. And in a way, it's good sometimes when God slows us down so we realize everything that He's been doing for us. So as I said earlier, this will be, I don't like to say a short talk, because when I say short talks, they end up usually long, but it'll probably be a short talk just because of my energy level and just being back this morning. So let's start and read in Luke chapter 16. Beginning at verse 1. He also said to his disciples, "There is a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be a steward.' Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? For my master is taking away the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, that they may receive me into their houses.' So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down and quickly write 50. Then he said to another, "How much do you owe?" So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you've not been faithful in the righteous mammon, you will commit to your trust the true riches. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, he will give you what is your own. No servant can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." When we look at this parable, we usually call this the parable of the unjust steward. The main lesson that I want us to get out of this is that the children of the world are often wiser in their pursuit of that which they deem important than the children of God are in the pursuit of what they deem to be important. In this parable, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus tells this parable to his disciples, but the Pharisees also hear it. And a couple weeks ago, we were talking about being wise stewards of our time. So we know that we are to be stewards. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, "Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that a man be found faithful." So we see from 1 Corinthians 4 that one of the things that we are a mystery of is or that we are a steward of, is the mystery of God, handling God's word and sharing it with others. And Paul told the Corinthians that it is required, it is must, it is necessary that a man be found faithful as a steward. Now, as I said, this parable is often called the parable of the unjust steward. We could also call it the parable of the crook, because what did he do? He took what belonged to his master and he discounted it. But you know, everything belongs to God. We need to understand that. In Psalm 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Again, we own nothing. Everything belongs to God. So let's go through these verses and look at them a little bit closer. So in verse 1, he said to his disciples, again, that's the audience that Jesus is addressing, there is a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought against him that this man was wasting his goods. So this man was called upon to give an account of his stewardship. And he had been accused of wasting his master's good. And based on the way he responded, it appears that he was guilty. He didn't speak up and say, "Oh no, master, I haven't been wasting your goods." It appears he was guilty. And friend, the day is coming when all of us will have to give an account of our stewardship. Every one of us. Have we wasted what God has entrusted to our care? Again, several weeks ago, we looked at the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, where the prodigal son left home and then he came home. And in Luke 15:13, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And we know from Jesus in Matthew 16:26, he said, "For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" So we understand everything we have belongs to God. Sometimes we get confused and we try to accumulate everything else so that we can have that. And if we accumulate everything else in the world, or if we don't and we just try to, we can, and if we lose our soul, we've lost everything. We've lost everything. So in verse 2, "So he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be a steward.'" So again, the rumors are apparently true. Again, we must all give an account of our stewardship. 2 Corinthians 5:10. We must all appear before the judgment of seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to what he hath done, whether it is good or bad. So again, each and every one of us, we aren't going to go up as a couple. We aren't going to go up as a group. We are individually going to have to give an account to our master of how we have used what he has given to us. And it's interesting too, in verse 2, when he says, you can no longer be a steward, that kind of goes against once saved, always saved. You know, people think that they can accept Jesus into their heart and be saved and they're on their way to heaven. Bible doesn't teach that. We have to live every day serving God. So in verse 3, notice that this man lost his job. The steward said within himself, "What shall I do? My master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig and I am ashamed to beg." So this man's trying to figure out what he needs to do. He's not going to do hard labor. He doesn't want to do that. He says, "I cannot dig." He was too proud to beg. He doesn't mention that, but he was not too proud to steal. He viewed begging as being degrading, but he viewed stealing as an option, because he's going to steal from his master. So in verse 4, "I've resolved what to do. that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So the steward knows that his master is going to kick him out, and he says, I've got to make some plans. I've got to take care of myself. He was trying to prepare for his future. And we'll see that this is why his Lord commended him. And it's amazing that many people out in the world, they will plan and work and give every ounce of their energy for what they think is important to them, all of these physical things that are going to burn up. Yet we, as children of light, do we put forth that same effort in serving our master to accumulate those things, not those things that are physical, but those things that are spiritual and those things that are eternal that will live on forever? So he wants to be received by his fellow men because he knows he's going to be cast out for his unfaithfulness. And you might wonder, you know, well, who could trust him if his master, his boss, is kicking him out? But let's look at verse 5. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said, first to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. He says, take your bill, sit down, quickly write out 50. He says to another, how much do you owe? He says, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. So what is he saying by allowing these men to write a fraction of their debt? He's trying to make friends for them, for himself in the future. He knows he's not going to be in the good graces of his master, and he's trying to align himself with these people that will then owe him something. What he's doing, is that honest? No, it's dishonest. It's dishonest. He's stealing from his boss. And notice he says, do this quickly. This quickly. This shows the brevity of his job, the dishonesty of the act. And the Lord said that he did this to every one of the Lord's debtors. Again, where are we focusing on our treasures? Back in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So again, we have this issue of misplaced affections, misplaced heart. Where is our heart? Is it in the things of the world, or is it in the kingdom? Verse 8 of Luke 16. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done this wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Is this talking about God? No, the Lord here is the steward's Lord. It's not the Lord Jesus. God would not commend him for doing something dishonest. The Lord is not commending his unethical practice, but he is pointing out the wisdom on the part of this unjust steward in pondering his future and thinking about his future. In this parable, and throughout many of the parables and the teachings of Christ, one of the ways that we learn things is by contrast and comparison. Contrast and comparison. So he's comparing, he's contrasting the children of the world with the children of light. Now we would be the children of light, the religious people trying to follow and serve God. He's comparing them. Which should be smarter, us as the children of light or the world as children of the world that are children of Satan? The unjust steward worked hard to make sure that all of his bases are covered for his future. So that's something we have to think about. This unjust, this crook, worked hard to make sure that all of his bases are covered for the future. What's the lesson in it for us? Are we working hard to make sure all of our bases are covered for the future? You know, some people, you hear some people, they'll sit around and they'll talk about the past all the time, no matter what it is, the good old days. We used to do this, we used to do that. You can find that anywhere, in business, in clubs, in the church. People talk about the past. Some people sit around and they talk and complain about what they have to do right now. You mean you want me to do this? We have to do that? Are you kidding me? You want me to do that? And Satan loves both of those groups of people. Because if you're talking about the past and you're complaining about the present, what are we going to get done? Nothing. Nothing. And could it be that the people in the world work harder in their pursuit of material things than we work at laying up treasure in heaven? Could it be that we work harder at the pursuit of material things than in pursuing spiritual blessings from God? You know, we don't want to fall into the belief of once saved, always saved. We teach that is wrong. But then again, talking about letting things creep into the church, just like we were talking about with the instrument this morning, you know, Satan has some of his soldiers in the church. He has soldiers in his church everywhere. They think they're saved, but who are they serving? And when we think of soldiers, some things came to mind about a lazy soldier. What's a lazy soldier in the church going to say? He's going to say, let somebody else do it. Let somebody else do it. How about an apathetic soldier? What's he going to say? I don't care. Should we do this or should we do that? I don't care. He's apathetic. How about an absentee soldier? He's in the army and he doesn't even show up. How about a weekend soldier? Some people have the National Guard mentality of being a Christian, that all they have to do is be a Christian on the weekend, and the rest of the week they can live any way they want to. Friends, the Bible doesn't do that. Satan has soldiers in the church that don't know how to use a weapon. You know, we call ourselves soldiers of Christ, and this is the greatest weapon that we have. But if we don't know how to use it, who are we serving? Are we serving Christ or are we serving Satan? You know, we are children of whomever or whatever we serve. Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience. So again, it's like I used to tell people when I was a manager, you can tell me whatever you want to. I'm not going to believe what you say. I'm going to believe what you do. I'm going to believe what you do, because people will say one thing and they'll do something else. We say we are servants of God. What do we do? Do we serve God or do we serve Satan? So the crook in this parable is going to go to hell when he dies. How can he be an example to us? Well, the children of light in this parable are those who walk in the light and serve God. In verse 8 and 9, so the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. So if an unrighteous steward was commended by his earthly master for his prudence, for his wisdom, for his forethought in providing for his future, even though it had been by dishonest means, how much more will a righteous servant be commended by his heavenly master for providing for eternity by a good use of what has been committed to us? God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. We need to be wise and faithful stewards. So look at verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. So he's showing a parallel here, another comparison. If you're unfaithful in a little, you're going to be unfaithful in a lot. If you're unjust in a little, you're going to be unjust in a lot. Have you ever heard anybody say, if I had $1 million, oh, I would give so much to the church? Do you believe them when they say that? What are we giving with what God has given us? We don't have $1 million, but he's given us something. People said, oh, if I had all this time, I would do so much for the Lord's church. Well, all of us have 24 hours a day. We all have the same amount of time. If I cannot handle a little, I cannot handle a lot. Luke 19:17, and he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. When we demonstrate good stewardship in a little, God is going to give us more and more. Verse 11, therefore, if you had not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you, to your trust, the true riches? So, if we cannot handle the material things correctly, then how can we handle true riches? How can we do that? If I am not a faithful steward with material things, can I be trusted with the gospel of Christ? And these are all things to get us to think about. Are we being good stewards? Are we being good stewards because we're going to have to give an answer to our master of what we have done with everything that he has given us? Can God depend on me to defend the truth and sound forth the gospel of Christ? That's one of the things that all of us are stewards of. Jesus, you know, why did Jesus come to the earth the first time? Why did he come? He came to save people. Okay, Jesus went back to heaven. So who's supposed to save people now? Is the job finished? No. There's 7+ billion people that need to hear the gospel. We need to share it with them. When Jesus comes back again, is he going to come back to save us? No. That's why he came the first time. Why is he coming the second time? He's coming to judge us. He's coming to judge us. Judge us as his servants. Verse 12, if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? So if we cannot be trusted with another man's good, how can we be trusted with our own goods? And again, Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's. And in Matthew 16:25-26, what shall a man give for his life? Whosoever will save his life and lose it, whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So verse 13, no man can serve two masters. So see, we're in this dilemma because we want to please everybody. We want to please God. We want to live like the devil. No servant can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot divide our loyalty. We can't split it up. Either God is first in our life or he's not in our life. Do you think God is going to take second place? Do you think whatever it is that's first place in your life, do you think God's going to take second place to that? No, God is either in our life or he's not in it at all. Verse 14. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard of these things, and they derided him. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts, for what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." So again, this parable, there's so many lessons. We didn't touch much on or focus on the concept of stewardship, but again, the contrast between the children of the world and the children of light. And the examples where the children of the world were more diligent than the children of light. So just for a minute or two, let's consider some ways how are people of the world more wiser than the children of light? Well, it's easy to see in a lot of people in the world, they are more active and diligent in what they believe in. You see somebody that wants to get ahead in their job, a lot of people, it's not uncommon to work 6 days a week, 7 days a week. It's not uncommon for people to have to be on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Some people like that. I don't know why they like that, but I do know why they like that. Some people, and everybody's different, but I have met some people like that because they want to keep getting more and more and more and more. They want to move up to that next job level. They want to get more money. They want to go on a bigger vacation. They are more active and more diligent. And again, they're spending all their time and energy on these physical things of the world that are going to go up in smoke when Christ returns and set this world on fire. How diligent are we in serving the Lord? You think about people of the world. They execute their work with more decision and singleness of mind. They want to accomplish something. They plan how they're going to do it. They keep going back to that plan. You know, years and years ago, Zig Ziglar, one of the illustrations he used to talk about in having goals, and he said, what if you went to a basketball game, and both of the teams went out on the field, and they had basketballs, and you looked, and somebody had removed the goals. There was no backboard, there was no rim, there was no net, and they were going to play a game of basketball. And they were just going all over the court, dribbling that ball, throwing it up in the air. Who's going to win? What's the purpose of it? You have to have a goal. And as children of light, we have to have a goal. What are we aiming for? What are we aiming for this week? Are we just going to hop on that little hamster wheel and run as fast as we can? Or are we planning with decisiveness and singleness of mind? I want to pray for this person. I want to talk to this person. I want to be sure I'm a good example when I'm around this person. Do we work as hard at being a Christian, as being a child of light, as people do the children of the world? Sometimes people of the children of the world manifest more earnestness. You just see them so on fire about whatever they are in. And, you know, sometimes we talk about being earnest, we talk about diligence, and sometimes we'll point to our denominational friends and we'll look at what they do and we'll say, that's wrong. What they're doing is wrong. What we're doing is right. And sometimes we need to look at, what are we doing? Now, just think about the idea for a minute of a kitchen. Or let me use a different example. Let me think about the idea of a bus ministry. A lot of places have a bus ministry. Well, we can pick up people and bring people ourselves to worship. We can do that. We're going to form a better bond one-on-one if somebody needs a ride, instead of going out and buying a bus and driving all around through a neighborhood trying to pick people up. Now, we understand that's not the right way to do it. Just for the sake of the argument, let's say that that is okay. Let's say that that's okay. And we're going to do that here. Let's say we're going to do that here. So what's the first thing we need? Well, we need a bus driver. Who wants to be a bus driver? See, a lot of the denominational people, they are more active doing things that are wrong. And we have the truth, and we need to be more active. You need somebody to drive that bus. You need somebody to work in that kitchen. And we say, well, that's wrong. Correct, that's wrong. Well, we need people to talk to other people. We need people to set up home Bible studies. We need people to go and help teach people. We need to exhort and encourage one another. Are we wiser as children of light than the children of the world? Sometimes children of the world, they manifest more foresight. Again, they have long-term plans. A lot of businesses, they want you to have like a plan for the year, a budget for the year, a three-year plan, a five-year plan, and then a long-range plan. And you keep going back to your plans to see if you're on course. I'm speaking for myself, do we have any plans for ourselves? Are we planning how much of this Bible, of God's Word, are we going to learn this year? How much are we going to learn next year? How are we doing with it? Friends, there are lessons here about stewardship, but the comparison, the contrast, children of light and children of the world, which do we consider ourselves to be? Do we consider ourselves to be children of this world or children of the light? I hope we all consider ourselves to be children of light. So do we show more wisdom or less wisdom in planning for our eternal home? Do we show more wisdom or less wisdom in planning for our eternal home than the children of this world show for their physical home? You know, I had a brother that he loved material things and would buy big things, fancy things. And I was visiting my grandmother, and this was years and years ago. And I said, yeah, you know, he bought a new car. You should see that new car. It's something. And she just said, well, he's laying up treasures for himself here instead of somewhere else. You know, whatever he bought didn't impress my grandmother, because she knew he was losing his soul with the lifestyle that he was living instead of spending his time and energy serving God. So we have the contrast. We have the physical and we have the eternal. This unjust steward, this crook, was commended because he had the forethought to look out for his future. Do we have that same forethought today? Friends, we're going to have to give an account to God, each and every one of us. We must be prepared. We must be His children to be able to spend eternity with Him. And again, we must give Him our all. He's not willing to take second place. Anything less than first place, He will not settle for. If there's anybody here this morning that needs to make correction in their life and be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.